2 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 3 and 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are at the end time, when the scripture is to be fulfilled. We hear the Apostle Paul say, preach the gospel. Not just put it off and let someone else do the preaching for us. But the ministry is to preach the gospel, to make full proof of their ministry, to reprove, to rebuke with all longsuffering. In doctrine, he said. And so, Father, we ask you to help us, O God, knowing that we hold over hell by a thread, and that thread is our faith. And as Brother Bram said, a chain is only strong as its weakest link. And if we have no faith in thee, O God, then there's only one destination for us. But if our faith is in thee, and it is the faith of the Son of God, then we know that we're just abiding our time, waiting, O God, for all things to complete. And so, Father, we ask you to help us to understand these last days and to be secure in knowing that your presence is with us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Amplified Version puts it this way. For the time is coming when people will no longer tolerate sound and wholesome instruction. But having ears itching for something that is pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors that they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth, and they shall wander off into myths and man-made fictions. Now, the word fables means make-believe. Fables are just made-up stories. And so we find then that what these self-proclaimed teachers are, in fact, is a bunch of politicians who will not teach the truth, but they will teach what they think people want to hear in order to gain bigger crowds. And so we find then that through these men, many will be led astray from the truth, and they will be turned unto man-made fictions. These men will turn the people away from what is real to that which is make-believe. Thus we actually see the prophetic utterance of God that tells us that there will arise ministries that are especially made, in other words, they are ordained in life, for the very purpose of alluring away from the truth those who are only make-believers themselves. Those people are just as predestinated to their condemnation as you are predestinated unto glory. Now, this is important to understand because we know that the elect will not be deceived. But here we find certain men who are ordained to teach the make-believers how to make-believe. In other words, they will teach them how to play church. Paul said you've got to hit the doctrine and reprove and rebuke the people with the doctrine. Yet the pulpits are full of people saying don't teach doctrine if you want a large church. Now God pity the man who thinks like that and calls himself a minister. God said preach the word. Preach the word means to proclaim, to rebuke, to exhort, to reprove, using the doctrine to do so. Now remember a week ago we spoke on 84 attributes and characteristics that will earmark the time of the parousia of Christ. And we point out that one of them will be deception, where everything is fake, fake, fake. Fake news, fake gospel, fake education, fake medicine, you name it. And we're seeing the time has arrived where everything is one big deception. When Brother Branham preached the rapture, his very notes, and I've got pictures I've shown you before, if you take a tour of the Voice of God, it's in, they've got Brother Branham's notes from the rapture there. And he starts out at the very beginning. He said, the time will come when the doctrine will be scorned. Now, I just looked up that quote this morning, and Brother Branham said, this doctrine will be scorned of his coming. That's parousia. This doctrine will be scorned. And the Apostle Paul warned us in both of his epistles to Timothy and also to the Thessalonians that this will be an earmark of the end time. So it's easy then to see when Paul speaks in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-13, that he is again warning us of the end time conditions, the conditions that will arise at the time of the parousia of Christ, because at that time Satan will also have a parousia and will bring on much deception as much as he can. Paul says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So the Apostle Paul is warning us that the great parousia presence will be earmarked with a falling away first. And then in verse 10 we read, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The Weiss translation says, the deception is geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing. And this gullibility being caused by the fact that they did not accept the love for the truth to the end that they might be saved. Now, what is a gear? Well, a gear has sprockets, and the sprockets are meant to line up with other sprockets. And so when something is geared to the gullibility, in other words, the people are gullible, and so we'll give them something to be gullible about. And that's what God is saying. I will bring a strong delusion that they will believe the lie, and because they're made to receive it, it will be a perfect fit for their own internal theology. The same apostle teaches us in Romans 9:22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. So if they are fitted for destruction, then they were made to be taken and destroyed. And the means of being caught up into the lie is because that is what they want to believe. The teachers don't tell them things that they don't want to hear. The Bible says the teachers will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. They tell them, you see, people blame the preachers. Many times they blame the preachers. They say, the preachers do this. The preacher said this. Listen, it's because they say what the people want to hear. Like pastor, like priest. Or like priest, like people, the Bible tells us. The teachers don't tell them things they don't want to hear. They wouldn't have a church. They wouldn't have much of a church anyway. The Bible says the teachers will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. You know, Holstein, maybe that's a better word for it. He doesn't have 25,000 people going to his church because he preaches what the people don't want to hear. He tells them what they want to hear, and so they go to hear more of what they want to hear. The Bible says the teacher will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. They tell them what their own ears want to hear. They are made to receive the deception because they love the deception. That is what the Bible says, Revelation 22 and 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs. You say, well, what's a dog? Brother Vail brought to our attention years ago, he said, the dog is a male prostitute. What is a male prostitute? It's preachers. Listen. Isaiah calls them dumb dogs that cannot bark. Isaiah 56:10. His watchmen are blind. What's a watchman? That's a preacher. He's set as a watchman over the people. His watchmen are blind. In other words, they turn an eye to all the ungodly things that go on. They are all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. What's a dumb dog that cannot bark? He can't warn you. Now notice, watchmen that cannot preach. That's what they do. If they cannot bark, they don't preach. Why? Because they're lazy and will not study the word. That is what Isaiah is saying. Notice he says, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. That's why they don't preach. Now back to Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. The dogs, the preachers, along with the people who love to hear the lie. So they love the lie, and that puts them out of the kingdom. Now that may sound harsh, but it's Bible truth. John 3:19 tells us, and this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because of deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. They had their source in God. Now notice, going back to 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They can't come to the understanding of the truth because they will not give up their own thinking. It's counter to what they think. Brother Bram said in Masterpiece, he said, what is it? It's the devil taking them right straight to that slaughter. Every one of them going in, exactly what the Bible said, and here it is, see, come right in amongst the Pentecostals and just pull them right straight, just as, what a time. Well, after that testimony, someone said to me, it's a good thing, I didn't say very much. It's a good thing I didn't say very much, because they probably have had me in jail up there. But I just thought, well, there it is. The people who's taught knows. The wise shall know their God in that day, it said in Daniel. Yes, sir, see. The wise shall know their God. They're watching for these things. But when I seen that happen, and them Pentecostals stand there with him, even Oral Roberts looked at me like that. And I said, oh, my. But standing up there with education and polish, you know, and so forth, that's not the way that God polishes his. He don't polish his with education. He polishes in humility and power of his manifested word, showing the shape of the grain that he went from. In other words, Brother Brown said the people came to him and said, you know, you're preaching pretty hard. If you had gone any further, they'd haul you off to jail. Well, I say, haul me off to jail. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Now the Weiss translation says, this deception is geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing, who are in the act of perishing, and that this gullibility is caused by the fact that they did not have a love for the truth. How many people hear a lie and they're pleased to spread that lie? How many people have a character that says, they hear the lie and they say, well, I better check with the source itself. I've heard many people overseas. They say, well, Brother Vail taught two gods. I said, he never taught two gods. And they said, well, Brother so-and-so said that Brother so-and-so said that Brother so-and-so said. I said, have you ever listened to one of his tapes? No. Nope. How do you know then that what they're telling you is the truth? Well, I have confidence in them. You have confidence in them? And they're telling you a lie? That's what it all boils down to. Well, he's my friend. He wouldn't lie to me. He wouldn't. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, he's born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth of the world speaking lies. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12. Listen, it's time that we get to the place where we don't trust anyone except for them that stand with this word. You can't trust the mayor. You can't trust the, you know, business people, you just don't trust anybody. It's full of deception. This is the age of deception. This is the age where everything is fake. Fake news, fake health, fake hospitals. You go in there, you come out worse. You go in there to get maybe just to get a stitch taken out, you come out with staph infection. Pretty soon they got to take your arm off. You go in there because you have to have an operation on your right arm, and they take your left arm off. They go in there, it's good. You can't trust them. The doctors that perform the surgeries are busy on their cell phones picking out what Porsche you're going to get because of your injuries. My sister, a couple years ago, she went in the hospital for something just abdominal. Ends up getting staph infection, ends up having $1 million hospital bill. $1 million. Because of what the hospitals put into her. Now, you can't trust anything. It's all fake. You can only trust one thing. Thus saith the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10 to 12. Of every kind of wicked deception geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing. This gullibility being caused by the fact they did not accept the love of the truth to the end that they might be saved. And because of this, God sends a deluding influence resulting in their believing the lie in order that they all might be judged who did not believe the truth but took delight in wickedness. So if they are geared to the gullibility of the lie, then that means that they were made that way. Now, I like his illustration of those who are perishing as geared to the gullibility, which, if you understand what a gear is, it is made in such a way as it fits itself to the gullible delusion. In Romans 9:22, Paul says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" Fitted to destruction. Who fitted them? One point in the above verse requires separate consideration. It says, vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Now, the usual explanation is given of these words is that the vessels of wrath fit themselves to destruction. That is, they fit themselves by virtue of their wickedness. And it is argued that there is no need for God to fit them to destruction because they are already fitted by their own depravity, and that this must be the real meaning of this expression. Now, if by destruction we understand punishment, it is perfectly true that the non-elect do fit themselves. For everyone will be judged according to the works done in their flesh. And further, we freely grant that subjectively the non-elect do fit themselves for destruction. But the point to be cited is this what the apostle is here referring to? And without hesitation, we reply, no. If you go back to Romans 9, 11-13, did Esau fit himself to be an object of God's hatred? Or was he that way before he was born? And the Bible tells us, before he was even born, God hated him. Again, did Pharaoh fit himself for destruction? Or was his heart hardened before the plagues were sent? Weren't the plague sent because his heart was hardened? His heart was hardened? Didn't God send the plagues because he refused to let Israel go? 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11 tells us, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that," in other words, for the purpose that they should believe the lie, "that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." In other words, they took pleasure in wrong understanding. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." How do you sanctify your spirit? By the washing of water by the Word. How does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word. Now in 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 2 we read, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. "But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the latter times some will turn away from the faith by giving heed to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." Doctrines of demons. Like Brother Brown told us at the end time, just as it was in the days of Daniel. Did you know that Babylon by decree was told to worship Daniel? Did you know that? the prophet of the hour. Did you know they're commanded from headquarters, if you want to call Babylonia, if you want to call Nimrod. I mean, not Nimrod. What's the name? Nebuchadnezzar. He called Daniel Belteshazzar. And the people were, and he made an image of Daniel, and the people were to worship him, and you have a prophet of God in this hour told us that would repeat again. Now last week, Sister Helena had pointed out that she had come across a video of a man that was worshiping William Branham. And I had to deal with this. He was over in Congo. I had to deal with this because in 2004, and Christina, I think, was with me then, and we had meetings there, and the were you there in 2004, 2007? And anyway, I had ministers come up to me afterwards because I preached on the appearing versus the coming, the appearing and coming being two different words, meaning two different things. And I had brothers come up to me afterwards and say, you know, we were guilty. We were baptizing in Brother Branham's name. We were preaching that he was the second coming, that he was the literal body of the Lord that God descended in. And we realized we're wrong. Do we need now to go back to every church that we preach that in and apologize to those people? I said, no. I said, what you need to do is start preaching the truth. And the truth will make them free. All right. Now, the problem is that over there, you've got one of the strongest doctrines in that whole country is a worship of William Branham. It's in this country as well. People believe Brother Branham is the Lord. He is God. He is not God. Let me tell you something. If you go to Paradox, Brother Branham said, I have a portion just like you. He said, Jesus was without measure. He said, he was God. We are not God. We are not God. But he said, God dwelt in his Son. Brother Branham also had Brother... the guy who used to make the tapes. He was going around telling people that Brother Branham was God. Brother Branham said, if you don't make that right, we're going to turn you out of the church. The guy made it right so they could stay in church. But after Brother Branham died, he went on to preaching it again. And he's the one that spread that demonology around the world. So this video is called Branhamite Killed by God or something like that. Anyway, and I wasn't going to mention it until I confirmed it, and I confirmed it with the brothers in Congo. They said, yes, it's true. It happened. And so I said, well, do you know any people that were actually eyewitnesses? He said, I know two brothers. He said, I'm in the process of getting a typed up, written eyewitness account for you of what took place. This particular preacher was on his way from one city to another, and he stopped in a village, and he was preaching under a mango tree, and he was telling them that where's the Hoffman's head of Christ? Right there in the back. He took a Hoffman's head of Christ, and he threw it on the ground. He said, and he called Jesus a demon. He called him Satan. He called him a snake, everything else. And he stepped on that Hoffman's head of Christ picture. And he said, William Branham is our God. And he said, and if Jesus is God, then may he strike me dead right now. And instantly, he was struck dead. Within 10 minutes, they said, we better haul him off and get him a coffin and bury him. They went to haul him off. He stunk so bad they could hardly get near him. His eyes were sealed shut. His head swelled up like a basketball. His mouth opened up and his entrails were coming out of his mouth. And they said, it is so smelly, so bad, that they buried him right on the spot. They buried him right there. Now, I've confirmed this with brothers in Jeffersonville. They've heard of it some time ago. It happened in May of this year. Brother Justin was listening to a tape the other day, and Brother Brown talked about a girl who was a Sunday school teacher in her church who tried to get one of the girls from his church to go out to a dancing with her. She refused to go, and the woman castigated the sister in Brother Brown's church. And she said, you know, oh, your pastor's just got old-fashioned ideas. She goes, listen, it's not what my pastor says, it's what I believe that Jesus wants.
I have my own personal revelation. And Brother Brown said, I praise that little girl for that. Sister Humes. And so that woman who said very derogatory things toward William Branham and his religion. 6 months later, she dies. And while she's on her deathbed, her pastor, who has a big long cigarette, you know, holds it on one of the big holders and stuff like that, Brother Branham said, wearing his turned around collar, he comes to see her. And she tells him, the reason why I'm going to hell is because of you. Because of you. Because I believe what you told me. What you taught me. Brother Brown said, I pray to God. And I'm so thankful that hasn't happened to me. That someone that followed my ministry will say I'm going to hell because of you. He said, that's why I preach it so hard. That's why I hold it close to the vest. That's why I believe that we should live so godly. Because, brother, sister, Jesus Christ is real. He's here. His presence is here. The pillar of fire is still leading us. We don't worship William Branham. He was a vessel of God. He was an older brother in the vast family of brothers. He's your brother. But he wasn't your oldest brother. Your oldest brother died for you on Calvary. Your oldest brother is your Savior. He's your Redeemer. He's your Lord. But he was a servant. Just like you're a servant. For 35 years, you've been dedicated every service to spend half hour of your time going over the books. That's a service, Steve. Song leaders, people playing, musicians, people coming early to pray. That's your service to God. So we're looking at the end time. The falling away from the faith. From the faith. Notice, but the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the latter time some will turn away from the faith. Turn away. From the faith, by giving heed to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And so we see that there has to be a falling away first. And this falling away, we are told, is from the faith, not from faith in general, but from the faith. And it comes because they give heed to seducing spirits who teach doctrines brought to them by demons. And they fall away from the faith, then. And there is only one the faith, as Paul said in Ephesians 4 and 5, because there's only one Lord. Now, Brother Bram said in his sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said, false Christ, false anointed, doing signs and wonders to deceive the elected. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these reprobates, reprobate in mind concerning the faith. Not a faith, the faith, one Lord, one. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. So you believe in two Lords, you're going to have two faiths. I challenge anybody that's listening to look at all the quotes where Brother Branham uses the word two Lords. And you're going to find that he says they got two Lords because they don't have a revelation of the one Lord. He said Abraham was a vindicated prophet, therefore he understood. He said, when he saw three of them come, he only called them one. There was one Lord. But he said, but when two of them went to Lot, he called them lords, plural, because he wasn't vindicated. There you go. That's why Brother Vail called it a fallacy, but people want to refuse that. They want to say, well, he didn't correct it. Yes, he did correct it. Yes, he did correct it. He called it a fallacy. So it matters, and listen, it matters not who says it. If you preach two Lords, you have more than one faith. And you can't preach two Lords without eventually coming to the place where you must preach two Christs. And they're doing it. I've seen them. Online, I've seen them. Yeah, somebody asked the question, well, if there's two Lords, then is there two Christs? And the person said, yeah, I guess there is. Because when the Bible says that this same Jesus, whom you made both Lord and Christ, he said, well, if God is Lord and God is Christ, and he made Jesus Lord and Christ, then there's two of them. And I said, no, you've absolutely got it wrong. You got to ask yourself, how did he become the anointed one? It's the anointer entered into him. How did he become the Lord? Because the one Lord himself entered into the vessel. And now the vessel was a representation of the one Lord. You can't make it any other way, brother, sister. And yet they call me a false preacher because I tell the truth. But I say what Moses said and what Jesus said, what Paul said, what William Branham said. And they're not saying what the prophet said. Therefore, as they said in the New Testament, you're not saying what Paul said. Therefore, you're a false apostle. And they know to add to or take away that there are consequences. One word off of Satan's kingdom. And they say it all the time. Yet, so stick with the scriptures, brother and sister, and you'll do well. And since we were instructed by God's vindicated prophet that faith is a revelation, and since there is only one revelation spoken of in the scripture, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ according to Galatians 1 and 12, according to 1 Peter 1 and 13, and Revelation 1 and 1, then we see that any other revelation besides the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's doing, is pure and simply a false precept of man. And so we see that the falling away will be from this message, because it has to be from the true revelation of Jesus Christ, which was brought to us by a vindicated prophet. Actually, brought by Paul, brought by Moses, brought by Jesus, etc. But expounded in this hour by a vindicated prophet. In Luke 18 and 8, Jesus asked the question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And that is what we're looking at this morning. Shall he find faith? Shall he find revelation? But what we see in the end time is a picture of men rising up who proclaim to be ministers of the faith, but as we see them manifesting themselves, we find they are actually imposters. And now this brings us to the next point. These men who are called imposters are actually ordained to the roles of condemnation. In Jude, we read that these men crept in unawares, so they crept into where? And from where? They came in from the outside, they came in. It says they crept in. There's only one place where God is dealing with in this hour, and that is in this message of the hour. God is dealing in the bride age, he's no longer dealing with the church ages. The NIV says, for certain men who were of old ordained to this condemnation secretly slipped in among you, who? Well, Jude is addressing to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. That's what he says in Jude 1. That is God's elect where they are assembling. Wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. So where are they creeping into? Where the message of the hour is. Where the food of the hour. In 2 Timothy 3:13, we read, but wicked men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and leading astray others, and being deceived and led astray themselves. We find in 2 Peter chapter 2, he says that as there were false prophets among the people, so shall there be false teachers among you, who privately will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the one that bought them. And finally, we find this group of make-believers who have heaped to themselves teachers to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. We find also in Hosea 4, verse 6-9, it tells us that like people, like priests, they're all going to have the same mind, but it's not the mind of Christ. Now, with this in mind, let's look at the difference this morning between the make-believer and the foolish virgin, because it's the make-believer that falls away. The foolish virgin is not part of the falling away. She just doesn't know. The make-believer is not a virgin. She is not a living a sanctified life, although they might try to fool others into thinking it so. But just because they say it so doesn't make it so. The foolish virgin is a sanctified person, so that's one big difference. And how you're sanctified is by the word, by the blood. And if you're not walking in the light as he's in the light, the blood's not sanctifying you. So it's a man-made sanctification. It's a put-on. It's a sham. Now, from his sermon, Three Kinds of Believers, Brother Branham said, now the make-believer hangs around and acts just as pious as he can, but down in his heart he's trying to find what see how you do it. Oh, if the country isn't full of that part of a hypocrite, that's Judas. That's exactly. He hangs around, becomes part of the group. He was a treasurer, see? He stands around. He always got his hand out for money. You can tell You can tell that one thing. He's always fishing for money and got his hand out for this, and he's a make believer. He acts like a believer, but down in his heart, now you remember, he wasn't fooling Jesus. And again, from three kinds of believers, Brother Branham said, there's that make believer that's just waiting. He'll sing like that. Oh, I believe this and I believe that. And I believe this, but oh, you know, I heard somebody say so-and-so times. See, just wrong with ears. A real believer don't hear nothing but the Word. That's all. He watches the Word. He ain't looking for no loopholes. He ain't looking for no gimmicks. He believes God and that settles it. And he just keeps on going. See, there's a believer, and then the unbeliever fills up in a minute, and he can't stay to listen to 10 minutes to the sermon. He's got to get up and walk out. It's against his creed, and he just won't have no more to do with it, so he goes out. Then the make-believer, he hangs right on. That Judas, see, that's the deceiver. Again, Brother Brown said, sometimes these make-believers are very popular with the people. That's right, these make-believers, see. Some of them are mighty men, educated, doctor's degree, big pay, everything. Some of them are great men, shrewd, just like sons of Satan would be. Now look how Satan come right up there and agreed with every bit of that word. He's just waiting to find that weak spot in Eve to where he could show his power to deceive her, to betray her. That was Satan. And here Satan is in the form of Judas in that age. That was Satan in the first age. What was he? Agreed with the word till just one little thing. He was just trying to find a place where he could get a weakness. And that's exactly what the Judas finds right now. He'll come right along with the meetings and watch right around until he can find that little spot that he, oh, there it is, that's it, see? Oh, that's the way it's done, see? That's just exactly. Listen, I could give you illustration after illustration after illustration of people who hung around this message long enough to find something to pick at. And then when they began to pick, they picked, and they went out, and now they don't believe Brother Branham at all. They believe he was a total liar and a deceiver and everything else. Well, go ahead and start picking, brother, sister. Start picking. And pretty soon, you with your little pick in your axe, you'll find your way making a big hole for you to drop into. Because he that diggeth the pit shall fall therein. That's what the Bible says. But notice it is different with the foolish version, and that's what I just want to say this. Quit picking at the ministries. Myself included. I'm going to stop. Look, I will preach the word. I will defend the truth. But it's time to get our eyes on Jesus. Get them off of every other ministry that's out there. They've got their own church to deal with. They've got their own walk before God. Just let them alone. They'll manifest if they're of God or they're not of God. Now watch. Both of them, the wise and the foolish, were virgin. Now we're going to contrast them with the make-believer. The foolish virgin is not a make-believer. She's a believer. She lives a sanctified life. She's good people. Good people, lovely people, people you like to be around. Not troublemakers, not backbiters, not gossipers, not always stirring up something against somebody or finding fault with every little thing they can find fault with. Now watch, both of them were virgins. Now let me just get this. Here. Let's just take these two right here. This is a virgin and this is a virgin. This was a foolish virgin and this was a wise virgin. Both of them are virgins. Now, if you take the name virgin and run it down, it means holy, clean, sanctified. The word sanctify comes from the word sainted. So both virgins are saints, which means they're clean, like the Hebrew word. Now that's a Greek word, sanctify, it means clean. And again in the sermon, Sudden Secret Going Away of the Church, Brother Brown said, now, how many of you all perhaps have read of the virgins? Some were wise, some were foolish. Virgins means purity. They were all good people, every one of them virgin. Sanctified vessels of God. Then why do we get mad at them? We shouldn't.
We should pray for them. But those who had oil in their lamps went in, and the others was left out. They were all virgins. Everyone, people that you couldn't put your finger on for anything wrong. Today, everyone believed in the coming of the Lord. They were ready to go meet Him, but some of them let their oil go out. Don't let that be your case. Keep oil in your lamp. Oil is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Never let it drain from you. How's it going to drain from you? It's when you start picking. When you start gossiping. When you start making criticisms toward people. Toward things that they do, things they say. It's when your focus begins to pick, 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 you're actually digging a pit and you will fall therein. Stop it. Let it be. Let it go. All of them were virgins. All lived a sanctified life. All lived holiness before God. You couldn't put your finger on anything. Although sometimes you'd like to, and if you find yourself looking at to finding fault, you better make sure you're not a make-believer. Because you're anointed by a spirit, by a demon. So let it go. How do you resist the devil? Just resist him. Tell him no. He said, keep oil in the lamp. Oil is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Never let it drain from you. When you feel your love dying away. How do you know when your love's dying away? You get critical. Why? Love covers a multitude of sin, a multitude of unbelief. Well, they just don't believe. Love them anyway. Jesus did. When you feel your love dying away, your sincerity to Christ and to the cause, quickly go to Him who has a fountain of oil and buy for yourself a filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the lamp is the Word of God. But if you don't have oil in your vessel, you will never have light on the Word. So what's light on the Word? That's 1 Corinthians 2. What man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him? John said in 1 John 3, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. That's what the anointing does, that you know. And we find in Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we see that both wise and foolish had lamps. They had the Word, the Bible, the Word of God. But one had oil in her vessel, meaning she had the Holy Ghost, and the other did not. But both lived clean lives. And neither persecuted the other. They coexisted. But notice what Brother Ram tells us in explaining this lamp. The wise virgin had he explains to us what it being lit signified. You find in John 14:12. Their light was reflecting the life of the Word. The light on the Word was the life and the nature and the character of Christ manifesting in the Word, in their life. From conflict between God and Satan, Brother Ram said, fire, which was in the lamp, fire is a confirmation of the light coming from the Word. The smart virgin, the wise virgin, had oil in her lamp, and she trimmed her lamp and she lit it. Now, what is it? Now, God is the Word, the oil is the Spirit, and the fire is the gospel light on that oil. Amen. God says so. See, that's the vessel. All right? The oil is in the vessel, and the fire burning it shows that the vessel is reflecting the light of what the Word said. What's that? John 14:12. See, that's the reflection. Now, the wise virgin could do that. But that other foolish virgin was on the outside. It had no oil. And they couldn't reflect nothing but just their church and their denomination. See? Now, you say, Word? You said the word was spirit?
Yes, sir. God said my word is spirit. That's right.
The true bride must be unified by the word. Now remember, if she is a part of Christ, she has to be the word of Christ. In order to be the word of Christ, you have to be baptized into Christ. And when you're in Christ, you believe Christ, and Christ is the word. In other words, the one that had oil and had the light, she could actually see his presence. Why? How do you get a change when the Bible says that when we see him, we'll be like him? And we'll be made like, or we'll be transformed. How do you get that change if you can't see him? He's here. And if you don't have a change, it's because you don't see him. And there's no oil in your lamp to see him. So the foolish virgin are not the ones who fall away, brother, sister. They are not the ones who are deceived. They just don't have the oil. They just don't have an understanding. And they don't fight with the wise virgin. They coexist with them, living side by side until the great separation comes at the time of the cruising of Christ. The wise virgin have light to see who's here. And so with her light, they go into the wedding supper. Why? Because she's a capstone. She is, if you look up all Brother Brown's quotes on capstone ministry, he says the bride has got to be so much like Christ. That's being conformed to his image. And he says she's got to be manifested as sons of God. That's what we're looking at now. Brother Brown said, they reflect the light. In other words, they are conformed to the image. They manifest as sons that should manifest. The others do not know who came down, and therefore they go to them that sell to try to figure out what this midnight cry is all about. And the midnight cry is the shout. That's the message. But the Apostle Paul warned us in Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So we're going to look at these. Who are these people Paul is talking about that are removed themselves from Christ, from the grace of Christ, unto another gospel? Now notice, who Paul's addressing? Not the elect. In the book of Galatians, he's not addressing the elect, he's addressing the churches. Paul, an apostle, not a man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Unto the churches of Galatia. Not to the elect, unto the churches. To understand this that is taking place, we need to understand who this one is that called him into the grace of Christ. Because Jesus taught us in Matthew 22 that many are called, but few are chosen. And Jesus said also in John 6:44, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up to the last day. And the Apostle Paul tells us who called us, and it is God, as we see in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, getting back to Galatians 1:6, he says, I marvel that you, the church, are so soon removed from him, God, that called you. So who do they remove themselves from? They remove themselves from God. John said, if you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you have not God. They remove themselves from God into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. How do they remove themselves? By listening to another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that will trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. As you said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what you have already received, let him be cursed. For I do not persuade men or God. Do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brother, that the gospel that was preached of me is not after man, nor I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. In other words, Paul said, I had a real conversion. Because before I was persecuting what I thought I was believing to be true. And I found out everything I stood for was a lie. Fake news. Fake gospel. Fake theology. But it was brought to light by the pillar of fire himself.
And of course, we know that Paul's conversion came directly from God, as he had shown himself to Paul in the form of the pillar of fire and revealed himself to Paul. Now, I want to focus on what Paul said, especially in verse 6. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. Therefore, we should consider this very carefully, and therefore we should take the word just as he said it. Therefore, God's word says that he, God's word says what he means, and his word means what he said. And that is what broke the union between God and man, and that is what broke the oneness and fellowship between God with his son Adam, and it broke up life. To break the continuity of Scripture or give it another meaning than what was written is to give another nature to it, and therefore another spirit altogether. Then it is no longer the same spirit, but another spirit. Then it is no longer the same message, but another message, another gospel. Now notice in verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Removed from who? He said they had removed themselves from God, and they were removed to where? He said, to another gospel. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Yes, sir, he said they left God who brought them into the grace of Christ for another gospel. You hear that? They left God for another gospel. Now, the Greek word Paul used, which is translated as another, is the word heteros. Now, the word heteros means different, but not altogether different, but rather in a different nature, another nature. When we use the word heteros in our English language, we usually place it as an adjective before the noun. We say a man is heterosexual, meaning he is attracted by those of the opposite sex, those of another nature. So the Apostle Paul tells us that they have left Christ for a gospel or message of a different nature than the one that he preached. Therefore, if it is a gospel of another nature, then it must be of a different spirit, right? And Paul goes on to say, it is not another, as if it is completely different, one in substance, but only in its nature. In other words, they use the same words, token, they use the same words that, you know, the apostle uses and you know, what the prophet uses and stuff like that, but it has a different meaning. Now, in Galatians 1:7, Paul says, which is not another, which this word another is not translated from the same root heteros, meaning a different in nature, but rather it's a Greek word allos, which means a different one altogether. So Paul says it's not a totally different gospel. But notice Paul says it is not allos, it is not an altogether different gospel. And then he explains why when he says, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So it's not a different message altogether, it's just perverted. It's the same one with a curveball at the end. So see, the reason it is perverted is because its nature has been changed from the nature of the gospel that Paul taught. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us it is a perverted gospel with a perverted nature. Now, the word pervert here was taken from the Greek word metastrepho, which means literally to change the mind. In other words, this gospel of a different nature is a mind-altering gospel that these men crept into and got the people to change their mind, to change their thinking concerning the nature and characteristics of the word that Paul had preached. Paul said the people in this day had come to the place where they were worshiping another Jesus, a different one altogether, and using the same gospel but presenting it in a perverted manner, and thus the people heard a gospel with a different nature and were thus receiving a spirit with a different nature as well. Now notice the Apostle Paul called it a perverted gospel. Not a different one altogether, for they still use the same words, Christ and Holy Spirit and Word, Church, Token, Presence, etc. But when you listen to what they have to say, it is altogether a different nature. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 1 to 4. And we're going to read what Paul says in warning the Corinthian church. He said, I would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. For I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve, seduced Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, now that word another was translated from the Greek word allos, which means a different Jesus altogether, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, notice this word another is translated from the Greek word heteros, meaning of a different nature, which you have not received, or another gospel, also again, that's heteros, meaning of a different nature. He says, why do you put up with it so easily enough? For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Now, the Expanded Bible puts it this way. He says, you are very patient to willingly put up with or gladly tolerate anyone who comes to you and preaches a different Jesus from the one that we preach. You are very willing to accept a spirit that is different from the spirit you received, or a gospel that is different from the one you accepted or received from us. And he says, why do you do it? I also like the way that the version called the Message says it. It lays out the thought that Paul is saying here. He says, it seems that if someone shows up preaching quite another Jesus than we preach, or a different spirit, different message, you put up with it quite nicely. But if you put up with these big shot apostles, why can't you put up with simple me? I'm as good as they are. It's true that I don't have their voice, haven't mastered their smooth eloquence that impresses you so much, but when I do open my mouth, I at least know what I'm talking about. We haven't kept anything back. We let you in on everything. That was Brother Bell. Brother Bell let you know. Now here we see Paul telling us that the message of a different nature will bring with it a different spirit, and that presents to you a totally different Jesus altogether than what he preached. They could be presenting a gospel using the same quotes of scriptures, and yet because they have a wrong understanding, they will be presenting a totally different Jesus while claiming to believe the same Jesus Paul preached. Always remember and never forget, unless you have the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Christ Jesus and that dwelt in Paul, you will never understand the things of God. That's 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. And if we read, just to save time, we could read through verse 14. Because it takes the Spirit of God to know the things of God. How many foolish people will try to twist Brother Branham's words? The oneness believed he was a Trinitarian, while the Trinitarian believed he was oneness. Others try to make him say things he never said, and some claim that he taught that you don't need to understand, you just need to believe. But he explicitly taught that only the elect will understand. For how can you believe without knowing what you believe? I hope you understand how important it is to know the truth, for the truth shall make you free. Not only should you know the truth, but also you should love it. For if you do not love it, it is right there that you are placing yourself in a position to be deceived, as we have already covered this in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1, 10 to 12. So we see because they have not a love for the truth, God himself will send them a strong delusion that will cause them to believe to leave the truth. Now, if you think for 1 minute that you are more than able to resist what God sends, you're only fooling yourself. And God is ever watchful of your attitudes. Remember, he knows the very innermost thoughts that you have. And you've got to love it with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, or you will open yourself up for deception. 1 Timothy 4, 1-2 tells us, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron. That is the make-believer. That is not the foolish virgin. These are hypocritical liars because they know better but refuse to teach the truth. The Scripture does not tell us some shall depart from faith, but from the faith. And we know that faith is a revelation, and there's only one revelation that the Scripture speaks about, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Moses had to deal with the same problem during the first Exodus, as we see in Deuteronomy 13:13. It says, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. Again, we see in Deuteronomy 32:15, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxed fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked him to anger. They sacrificed unto the devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that they came newly up, whom your fathers feared, of the rock that begat thee out, thou art mindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters, and he said, I will hide my face from them, I will see that their end, what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. And God's only provided place of worship, Brother Brown said, nothing in the Bible types of denomination but Babylon. And Babylon was founded by Nimrod, and Nimrod was a renegade. And according to Webster, a renegade is a person who abandons his religion for another. an apostate. Now remember the signs and attributes and characteristics that show that the days of parousia of Christ is here? And we read a couple weeks ago from what Jesus said in Matthew 24:8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended. And the word offended is scandalizo. It means to cause a person to distrust and desert one that he ought to trust and obey, to cause to fall away. And notice that this being offended does. It causes them to desert the ones that they should trust, and then they shall betray one another, and they shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Endure means to remain. Now in the Gospel of John 6:63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Now I want you to notice the very next verse, because we just read 65 where he said, "No man can come unto me except you were given of my Father." But in verse 66 of chapter 6 makes it 666. And we know that 666 is the mark of the beast, right? And when did Cain receive the mark of the beast? When he went out from the presence of the Lord. And notice the attributes of those in John 6:66. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. There's your mark of the beast. That's not foolish version. That's a make-believe. That's apousia, which means absence. We see this mark of the beast in Genesis 4:15b-16. "And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." What did he do immediately after he received the mark of the beast? He went out from the presence of God. He left the word. Now, back to John 6:67. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them and said, Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. After these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him." No sense in going to places where they're going to kill you. From Hebrews 3:7, we read, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness, when the fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, therefore, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief," notice, "in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Notice he said, it is the evil heart of unbelief that will depart from the presence of God. Now let me read several more scriptures concerning this departure from the presence of God before we close in prayer. From Hebrews 4:1 we read, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the gospel preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Hebrews 10:35-39, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back," that means go back, "my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back under perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Hebrews 12:25, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaketh from heaven." And what is this? And here, the Lord descended from heaven with a shout. Acts 13:41. "Behold, you despisers and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." 2 Peter 3:17. "He therefore, beloved, believe, seeing that you know these things,
before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. 2 Timothy 3:1-9. This know that also in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godlikeness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses, churches, and lead away captive silly women, that's churches, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Again, 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Hebrews 6:4, for it is impossible for those who have been once for all enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, if they shall deviate from the truth, it is impossible for them to once again come to repentance, which is a change of the mind, seeing that they crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh, or as Brother Ram put it, they crucified themselves by rejecting this word. Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin, disbelieve willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. It doesn't say after they receive the Holy Ghost. It's after they receive the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 2:1, for there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false prophets or teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, let's forward to verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. These are wells without water, no word. Clouds, witnesses, that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For if after they escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. That's people raised in this message who, it says, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, after they've been told about the wrongness in the world, and they go ahead and do it anyway, they go ahead and commit adultery, they go ahead and commit a fornication, bestiality, all those things. For it had better for them not to have known the way of right wiseness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened as it happened unto them according to the true proverb, a dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. 1 Timothy 6:8, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to God-likeness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings and evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul speaks of Demas having totally abandoned Paul, make believer. Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Acts 7:39, whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and then in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses, who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. The next few scriptures show the punishment then of the renegades who turn back and walk away from God. 1 Chronicles 28:9, if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Isaiah 1:28, the destruction of transgressors and the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is the man whose heart departeth from the Lord. Ezekiel 3:20, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Ezekiel 18:24, But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? Ezekiel 18:26. When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Matthew 13:20. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that receiveth the word, and anon with joy receive it, yet hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, and he is offended. John 15:6. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them into the fire, and they are burned. And 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge, he's the judge, he's come down, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. In other words, as the word is coming to pass, move with it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all unsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Now I'll tell you this. There is a preacher out there for everyone that will give them what their ears want to hear. As like priest, like people. If you look hard enough, you'll find the one that you're satisfied with. And he'll help you become a really good make-believer. Or we can stay with the word. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We know that you have come down with a shout. It wasn't William Branham, it was you, Father. You came down with a shout. And you spoke mouth to mouth as you prophesied that you would do so in Deuteronomy chapter 18. You would speak mouth to mouth to the people. In other words, it was lip to lip. It was when those words were coming forth from his mouth. It wasn't even his own thinking. He didn't even know sometimes what he was saying. But it was you, God, that spoke and used his mouth. And so if we want anything other than that, I pity the person who does. Because we have a foolish virgin who needs oil. And at the time of the parousia, she recognizes she needs the oil. And she goes to them that sell. And then we have the make-believer, like Judas, who is just hangs around the message, hangs around, looking for something to find fault. And believe me, God will give you strong delusion. He'll let you find all the fault that you want, and you'll be damned by it. So help us, Father, to walk softly before you, reverently, approaching our brothers and sisters with a spirit of meekness and humbleness of heart. Help us, O God, never to become haughty, never to become in our minds that our thoughts are better than others. Our thoughts, your Bible says, there's no man that's righteous, no, not one. Our thoughts are not your thoughts, O God. The only thoughts we want to have are your thoughts. So help us to die to our own thinking and receive the mind of Christ. For we ask it humbly in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who was our example. And in that name we pray. Amen.
Everything I do, be pleased.